Morning, everyone. Good morning. It's lovely to be here again, isn't it? And whether it's your 1,000th time here, whether it's your first or second time, or it's your first time, you're very welcome. And it's lovely to see you. And we come here to worship God. It's wonderful to be here, and you're very welcome. On the call to worship this morning, there's a verse that was very true to me. Let's look at that. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. I will boast of all his kindness to me. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. We're going to do that in the two songs we're going to sing now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and I will offer up my life. We'll stand to sing. Remain standing now for I will offer up my life in spirit and truth.
Thank you.
Please take your seats as we pray. Let's pray. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? What can be said, what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you've done? Our words couldn't tell, Lord, what our thoughts are, because you've done so much for us. The debt of love that is owed by us. And we come to you with thankful hearts this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love to us. We thank you that we're here today to rejoice in your presence. And we pray that today, as we meet, you would come amongst us and do your work in all of our hearts and lives. Those that are discouraged, those that are glad, whatever our state we're in today, whether we're sad, whether we're ecstatic about their life, Lord, we just pray that we may know your presence with us and that we'll receive from you what you want us to know today. So, Lord, bless us as we meet together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're very glad this morning to welcome two visitors to us. Richard Shaw, who is Scripture Union Head of Regional Mission. He's going to bring God's Word to us in a moment. And then also Jonathan Malt, who works with Grace Works, the local schools work in this area. And we're going to be encouraged, I'm sure, about what he's going to share with us too in a moment. One or two other notices. Most of it's on your note sheet, but I do want to emphasise the culminating meeting of our week of prayer will be tonight at 5:30. We've had some encouraging times through our week of prayer at various homes throughout the week, and it'll be good if we can just consolidate that as we amalgamate that week of prayer this evening at 5:30 with our missionary prayer meeting as well. So do come along to that, and let's have a good gathering as we seek to culminate that week of prayer. You'll see that there's a flyer in your note sheets about the quiz night. There's a sign-up sheet for that, and please do sign on onto that. It'll be a good time together, I'm sure, and get friends, relatives, neighbours to come to that too. The good newspapers, they are available today, but the ones that are going to be distributed won't be available till next week. So you've got a respite, you've got a reprieve, those that you're delivering. You've got another week before you're out on the streets delivering. But the papers are here, the ones that for our own use. So I think that's all the notices. So I'm going to ask Jonathan now if he'll come up and give us an update on Grace Works. Thanks, Jonathan. It's great to see you.
I mean,
you did a wonderful job at the carol service for the.
It feels like I was just here yesterday.
Well, no, it was nearly 2 months ago, wasn't it?
I know. And, my mind.
You do a great job, and it's lovely to see you. Oh, come and give some encouragement.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you a few bits that have been going on over the last year since maybe I was last here to tell you a little bit. I'm not going to be able to cover everything in the short time I have, but if you want to find out more, come and chat to me. So just as a bit of an overview of all. Go up. So these are basically the current sort of spread of schools that we're regularly in. There are more than just these, but this is just a little bit of a snapshot of Havering and the spread of it. It's quite a big borough, as you know, so the demographics in every area are so different and every school is so different. What we try and do as a team is to try and cater to the school's needs and the people's needs. So we go in and do Christian Union clubs, we do prayer weeks, we do one-off events and loads of different things which can help them explore their relationship with Jesus. So this is a bit of the spread, and as that little statistic said, I did the maths and then I did it again just to make sure. Apparently, working it out, we reach about 2,000 Havering students every month and provide up to 20,000 young people access to the Christian message over the last year or so. So that means even just from one assembly or from an ongoing engagement in a CEU, those are the sort of relationships we're building up through our team and through our network of churches and people who are also working in schools. So it's really encouraging time to be working in schools. A lot of people might think that there's The state of the UK school system is going so bad that we can't say anything about Jesus in the schools. But it's not true. It's not true. There are so many young people hungry and have such a strong desire to find out truth and what the truth is out there. And everywhere we go, there's always amazing conversations and amazing engagement with the gospel, because it is the same gospel as it was yesterday, as it was 2,000 years ago, and it still has the power to save, as we know. So be encouraged that there are thousands of young people in this borough that are really, really capturing what the gospel is. So that's just that. These are some of my highlights. So these are my personal highlights of the year. So we've been doing a few different prayer spaces, and we've got a few booked in as well for the rest of this academic year. This was one in Britain's Academy in Raynham, which particularly was an amazing week. Because the way we did it with this particular prayer room is we put on a session in a classroom for maybe half an hour for some activities engaging in prayer, creative prayer, relaxation sort of things, which a lot of the kids did get involved with. But then we went into another classroom and opened it up to a Q&A. Basically, anything you want to ask a Christian about their lifestyle, anything you want to ask about prayer, and each day, local youth workers came in with me, and we just shared testimonies, and it was just the most powerful time. And the amazing thing about sharing a testimony in school is, because it's your story and you're telling it from your own perspective, it's not breaking any rules. You're not proselytizing. You're not trying to sway anyone, but you're telling them what you've experienced and how Jesus has impacted your life. I remember that one of the days in the week, this one girl in one class just kept asking such pointed questions, even though all the kids in the class were a bit badly behaved, well behaved, but kids, you know, kids. I'm not slamming the school; it's a lovely school. But there was one pupil. She seemed to always, despite the situation she was in, kept asking more pointed questions, and then came and chatted to us afterwards, and just really opened up about, you know, really having interest and really, what's it like to be the only Christian in your school? How can I be a Christian when everyone else isn't? And it was just such an amazing chance to encourage her and point her in the direction of the youth workers I was in there with, and say, hey, look, this is the different sessions this church runs. You can go along and check it out. I'll tell you a bit more how I'll be getting more kids to come along to some of the events like Motivate that you guys put on. But I'll tell you about that later. I'll show you some other highlights. So this was, I'll just show you the video quickly. So this was St. Edward's Primary School. And so that was in St. Edward's Church. We ended up having a concert over two different days. Every single child had been learning the songs of this ministry called I Sing Pop. And it's a Christian schools project where they learn all these pop songs which have really strong Christian message, and they sing it to their parents at two big concerts. And it was really fun. And that was around sort of Easter time last year, wasn't it? Yeah. And that was a highlight. That was great. All these actions that will forever be seared into my memory for all the songs that I will never be able to forget. And this is recently. So a lot of you, probably all of you, would know about the Illuminate tour, which happened just before Christmas. In fact, Romford Evan was one of the best supporters of the whole project, and forever grateful for not just financial contributions, but also prayer. We're able to have our prayer event here, and we know that the door's always open to come and pray with you guys, so I appreciate that. This is a little snapshot of what the sessions were like in the schools. So this was over a week. We had the band LZ7 and also Faith Child, Christian artists who are top 40 billed pop stars, coming into six different schools in the borough and doing sessions for year groups, talking about their faith and sharing some of their music. So this was at Harris Academy in Raynham, and this was LZ7. Oh. Okay, my camera's clearly not the best, but... And it was amazing because These are sort of kids that would just sit and, you know, if you're doing an assembly with them, they might not engage that much. And, you know, I was skeptical at first, thinking, how is this band going to come in and really get them going? And every school we went into, they were on their feet dancing around. Francis Barsley is one of the schools, and all the girls were going crazy. It was amazing. But not only was that session really powerful and a time for them to share their testimonies, and particularly around mental health and self-harm and eating disorders, they was able to really share that, how Jesus changed their situations. They also got an invite to the big concert that happened at the O2 Indigo in London on the 30th of September? And that was amazing. Loads and loads, hundreds of young people responded to the gospel there. And then we had a, and that was the concert there. And then we've, this is another highlight. This was at the Nativity Project, just in December. We had a big inter-church youth event called Connect, and we're going to be getting this up again and working alongside Scripture Union with Solid on Tour. So be doing more events that young people from around different schools can come to, alongside youth groups like Motivate and other youth groups, to then get to know other to Christian young people, have loads of fun, and then hopefully form some relationships which will help them in their discipleship. Those are my highlights, and I'm going to tell you quickly my challenges moving forward. So I head up the team of me. There's two student workers as well with Scripture Union's 10-2 program, which if there's any young people who are not sure about university, not sure what to do after school, definitely consider giving your year to God, studying with Scripture Union and being able to do schools work or other ministry work like that. It's definitely, I'll definitely recommend it. But my challenges, so heading up the team, there's a lot of challenges. These are particularly ones if you want to commit these to memory, or I can tell you about these later. Or if you want to sign up for our prayer letter, you can find out more. But growing the employed team, like myself, to expand the work, there's only so much we can do with limited numbers, but praying in even greater resources so we can grow the reach of the work, because as you saw, the borough is huge and there's so many schools that we can reach. Also a steady influx of gap year students, like I just mentioned, it's a great opportunity. Balance of meeting the needs of the schools whilst being clear in our mission to spread the gospel. And that's a hard one, and it's something we're having to develop new strategies all the time to really work with the schools and to be completely transparent and say this is the gospel, this is what we want to share, but we want to do it in a way which honours the school. And also growing a wider network of active Christian volunteers and facilitating churches working in their schools. So if you could be praying into these, it'll be amazing. I just want to end with this verse, which has really been speaking to me recently, Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. I'm praying that in this year for Grace Works and for my life, just to pray that whatever great plans I might have or what we might have, that it's the Lord that's going to establish them. So in your prayers, remember me, remember the team, and yeah, come say hello later on. So thank you very much for letting me share.
Just stay there, mate. We're just going to pray. Brilliant. Father, we thank you that at the beginning of this new year, and we just thank you for the opportunities that Jonathan's had over the last year, and pray that they may continue. We thank you for the open doors, and thank you for the doors that are being knocked out at the moment to just seek to bring this work into the hearts and lives of young people. Lord, we thank you for Jonathan's enthusiasm. We pray for him now as he continues this work, and we just uphold him before you and commit him to you in this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, I said he was to encourage you, didn't I? And it's been a great encouragement to hear what's happening. Let's stand to sing again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Thank you.
Now, just before the children leave us for their classes, let's just pray. Please take your seats. Father, we thank you for this faithful God that we can praise. His love endures forever. And we pray now for our children as they leave for their classes, Lord, that they may learn about this lovely God, this loving God, this King of Kings, whose love surpasses all other love. Lord, we pray that many of our children will learn, even today, of that great love for them and commit their lives to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, at this point in the service, we take up our offering for the Lord's work here and where our overseas connections are. Not only here, we are supporting people throughout the world and indeed throughout the borough as well, as we support Grace Works and other things through our church offerings here. So let's take up the offering now. Thank you. Pray God's blessing upon these gifts. Father, we thank you that we can give to you that which we have already received from you. And Lord, we pray that you'll take these gifts that were given this morning and other gifts that are transferred into the church accounts. Lord, we just pray for your wisdom and guidance. Thank you for all that you give us, Lord. And we pray that we will be generous people, giving to what you want us to give to, and giving because we love you and we want to share what we have. Lord, we pray that the result may be that people come to faith in the Lord Jesus and the gospel will be proclaimed and your gospel message will be broadcast, not only in this neighborhood, but throughout the world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing, "From Heaven You Came, Help Us Pray." We'll stand to sing.
Thank you. We thank you that as Jesus taught us, we can pray directly to you, our Father in heaven. We're not restricted by praying in a particular way, at particular times, places, or following rituals, but we can bring our requests and praise directly to you as Father, Saviour, and Friend. Please help us to not take this amazing privilege for granted, but to make use of it and to further our relationships with you. We pray for this church, that it would be a light in the community, showing the way to you. We pray for your guidance for the church leaders and for everyone who attends here, that we would all share in the same mission to love you, love our neighbours, including each other, and to go and make disciples. We also pray for those who are sick amongst us at this time, and we ask that you would bring healing to them and would enable us to see where we can be a help and comfort to each other. We pray for the ministries run from this church, for the various women's, men's, and youth ministries, that people would come and have the opportunity to hear how Jesus died for our and their sins to bring us into right relationship with you. We also pray for the ministries that go out from this church, for those involved with labelling and distributing the Good News paper, those involved in street pastors, Gideons, those who lead services at care centres, and those involved in other Christian ministries. We pray for wisdom for these many individuals in what they do, and that they would be encouraged by what you are doing through these works. We pray for integrity and wisdom for world leaders, and for opportunities and courage for the many Christians around the world, including us, to stand up for what is right and to declare the truth of the gospel in order to further your kingdom on earth. In particular, many of us here may have a friend, colleague, or family member who is far from you and who is particularly on our hearts at this time. As we name them in our hearts now, we pray that we would seek opportunities this very week to share with them about our faith and about your saving love for them, and that you would give us the courage to take these opportunities and the words to say to them. We pray that you would work in their lives and they would soon come to know you as Lord and Saviour. And we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Psalm 119, commencing at verse 105, and this can be found on page 620 in the Church Bibles. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end.
Thank you, Sarah and Esther. We're going to sing now before Richard comes to us. We're going to sing, Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. And we'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
There's the last hymn's there, but it'll be on.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's have just a moment of prayer. Loving and gracious Father, we do give you thanks and praise that we can be here this morning, that we are free to worship you, to hear and to receive and to share your word. Lord, never let us take for granted for one moment the blessings that we have, for so many do not have that. And help us this morning, Lord, just to hear from you, to be in your presence, and to give you glory. Amen. It's a real privilege to be with you all this morning. I bring some greetings as well, which is a really wonderful thing to do. Miles McBean, our new national director, is a member of an evangelical free church. He was really excited to hear that I was going to be here with you this morning and sharing with you. Miles has joined Scripture Union this January and is working with us as our new national director to help us think about and reflect about our mission. And I had the privilege of being with Miles and the leadership team of the national movement over this weekend in Birmingham as we spent time just praying and thinking about what God is saying to us in this new year, in this new season that he's brought to us. We've had a great amount of change within the movement as we've seen numbers of our national leaders feel God's call to take them on to pastors new. Tim Hasty Smith is in the process of leaving. You never get away from Scripture Union easily. And he's been 6 months leaving us, which is an awful long time. But as the movement is so wide and there's a great breadth to what we do, we felt it wise for him to leave over a passage of time. And he's going to go and work with the Gloucester Diocese, helping them pioneer youth ministry through sport. And they call that Mission Through Sport. And it's in a really exciting stage. Also, our managing director, David, is also finishing with us. Again, he thought he was going to escape at the end of December, but we've asked him to stay on. We've got two vacancies, and if you know of anybody who feels called to be involved in mission and ministry, we have a finance director and a director of mobilisation. And if you know of any godly men or women who would love to move out of industry or commerce and come and serve the Lord and serve our ministry, we would love to hear, because we're having a terrible time trying to fill the posts. It's just a really difficult season there. So some greetings. We're really excited about what God is saying to us as a ministry and about how we are going to serve the church in the coming years. And really, the heart of our mission, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit from the scripture about that, and hopefully that will bring a challenge to all of us this morning, is to see young people and children explore the Bible, respond to Jesus, and grow in faith. You know, the problems and the issues that we have out there in the world are huge. 95% of young people and children do not know Jesus, have no connection with the local church. A friend of mine, Karen, worked out how many children and young people that equates to. 12 million in England and Wales. 12 million young people and children have no connection with the local church. The task we have is massive. And we can only meet that with God's grace and his power as we seek to serve him. I was so encouraged, I don't know about you, when John was up here sharing the different shenanigans and ministry that the Grace Works team have been up to. I'm sure it is work, but it looks like an awful lot of fun to me. But I think that's God's blessing on the ministry, because I think he calls us to have huge joy in what we're doing. And I've just been full of encouragement as I've seen the work that those young guys have been engaged in the schools across this borough. And we do need to continue to pray, as John has said, for those schools, for the continued favour that churches and Grace Works and others have in entering the schools here in Havering and sharing about Jesus. It is a wonderful opportunity. It's not something that happens everywhere. Opposition often rises up, but here in this borough and in other places in this land, schools are very open still for the gospel to be shared in an appropriate and proper way. And John is engaged in that on a weekly basis. And do talk to him afterwards. But I do want to look at this psalm this morning and spend some time just unpacking that. I love this psalm, Psalm 119. And I'm just going to reread it, if that's okay with you, because just to allow the word of God to soak in. So starting from verse 105, not verse 5, that would be, we'd be here all day if I started at verse 5. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the winning praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Looking at our reading this morning in verse 105, we see that the word of God is not only there to inform us, but it talks about how we are to live and what we are to do. But it's also a light to our path in a dark world. It shows us the right way to follow and how to avoid the wrong way. We read the words, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. Our vision in Scripture Union is to see every young person and child look to God's word and a relationship with Jesus that would transform their lives. We live in a world where children and young people, in fact, all of us, hear 100 different messages telling us what we can do, how we can live, how we can act. If it feels right, it's okay. And who and how and what we should do. Children and young people hear the messages that all kinds of behaviours are okay. All kinds of lifestyles are okay. That they can push the boundaries that some of us, when we were brought up, seemed to be so firm. Now these boundaries have disappeared. The scripture, the word of God, is seen old-fashioned and out of date and not relevant for today's world. But the truth is that we live in a time when there is so much unclarity, deception, distraction, that the scripture, the Bible, has never been more important to help young people, children, to help us all in our daily lives. I'd like to reflect for a few moments this morning on all these verses and remind us of the transforming power of the scripture, how it can save, how it can help us live, how it is relevant to guide young people and children and all of us in today's life. that it can be trusted, that it does not fail, that it brings a clear message of truth in a world where the messages of lies, half-truths and distractions are believed to be true. So let's look and turn to the scripture this morning and start at the very beginning. Start at 100, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. This very first verse highlights God's words, shows us the way. It helps us through the darkness that surrounds us. It makes us makes the way known to us in a dark world. So many young people are distracted in so many terrible ways. I was telling some of the brothers before the service, I was privileged to be able to go to Wales on Thursday and spend some time in the valleys with some gospel chapels who are desperately trying to see their communities transformed. I don't know if you know about the state of the communities and the social deprivation that we find in the Welsh valleys around the Rhondda Valley, but it's the worst in the country. And the suicide rate amongst children is the highest in the country. Their sense of worth and that any future they have is non-existent nearly. There's no hope of them finding a job when they finish school, and you see a gradual migration from the valleys into Cardiff and Swansea. But many find themselves trapped in a sense of no hope. And we were talking about this very fact and this very idea around how if we could just get them, these young people, to understand how the Bible can set them free, the truth of the scripture that would counter the lies that they're told week in, week out, that they're worthless, they're rubbish. But in fact, that God actually sees the opposite in them, that they are wonderfully and awesomely made, and that he loves them massively. And we were talking about how we could find resources to bring a worker into that situation. The word of God makes known to us in a dark world. Verse 106 says, I've taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. In this next verse, it highlights a call to commit, a commitment to follow and obey. Something that is missing again in today's society and even in the Christian church. I truly believe young people are searching for something to follow and obey, something that calls them to commit. And so much confusion and mixed messages are given to them. And the word of God brings clarity and ability to commit to something. But I think that could be for us as well. It's not just the young people. Sometimes we find that we have so many messages given to us that we don't know which way to go. We need to turn back to scripture and see how God points the direction to us and shows us the way to live and how we can untangle the confusion that we live in. Verse 107, I have suffered much, preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. In this verse, it reminds us that life can be tough, but no one said it was going to be easy being a Christian. I was talking to a young person a while back who said, it is so hard following Jesus because everything I want to do is in that direction and Christ calls me in that direction. But I love God and this young man is pursuing God, but he has the pull of the world all the time. And the pull of the world meant that he got himself into trouble and problems and issues arising from that trouble. And when he realized that if he'd followed God's way, those troubles wouldn't have been there. But it's like this paradox that you think following God is hard, but actually when you live in the world, it's even worse. But no one said following God was going to be easy. But God's word encourages and reminds us of his promise that he's made to each one of us, that he sustains us through difficult times, that he reveals to us how to work our way through the issues that come our way, the problems that we face. And as we trust in what he says in the scripture and we pray and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, our lives are transformed. In verse 108, it says, "Accept, Lord, the winning praise of my mouth and teach me my laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law." These verses remind us that it's a two-way relationship. It requires commitment from us to respond, to take hold of Scripture and to own it and live it out. In verse 110, it talks about, "The wicked has set a snare for me, but I have not stayed from your precepts. I'm not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are a great joy to my heart." Here God recognizes that we live in a world with all the distractions and temptations, and that if it feels okay and its okay approach controls the way we do things, and where things we live and we disagree with and things that are incorrect, we're then challenged and told that we're radicals. He's made provision in Scripture that the lies can be countered through the word of God. That as we remind ourselves of the truth that is set out in Scripture, it sustains us and enables us to overcome the temptations and distractions. It's so easy to bend to the world and give in. Scripture Union is going through a very challenging time as we work with churches across this land, because we find that our values and our scriptural stance on all kinds of issues is remaining the same as it did 150 years ago. But so many churches are shifting, and they're taking on values that aren't scriptural but are worldly and makes them trendy in the world's eyes. And we're finding distance is creating between where we are and where some churches are. And that's a challenge to us. But we believe God is telling us, stand firm on the scripture. Do not get distracted. Do not let the whispers and the distractions of this world drag you away to compromise. And we see in scripture, in Matthew 4, 1 to 11, that Jesus himself was tempted yet undefiled. And I just want to read the scripture to us. I know we're short on time, but I just want to read the scripture in Matthew 4, 1 to 11, because I think, you know, when we remember that Jesus himself went through temptation and was trying to get deceived, but he stood firm. And actually, even Satan in the temptations used scripture to try and trick Jesus into believing the lie. And Jesus used the truth of scripture in the right context to counter that. And in Matthew 4, 1 to 11, it says this: "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus said, 'It is written, the scripture, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down.'" And this is where the devil tried to trick Jesus. "For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and he will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike a foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him," countered him with the truth, not taking the scripture out of context. "'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test.' Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' The devil left him, and the angels came to attend him. You know, we live, I just want to re-emphasize the point I made a few moments ago. We live in a world where so many have taken scripture and twisted it or used it to misinform or to conform to a value that the world has. And God calls us to stay firm to what is true in the scriptures. And I just want to, I love this place because this is what you're about here. Many churches are holding firm to the truth of God. But unfortunately, in this land that we now live, lots of Christians and some churches are bending to conform to God, worldly standards, and to appease and to see their pews full of people, but then give a false gospel that isn't true. Christ calls us to tell, speak to truth in a dark world and not to compromise the gospel. And young people need to know the truth. Young people don't need a wishy-washy gospel that is compromised to fit the worldly values that they're getting pounded with all these different messages. They need to know a different message that tells them and teaches them about the truth, the freedom that the gospel gives, that they can live in freedom. They don't have to conform to the world and all of these standards that the world has, but God has a better, a higher way. But unless they know the difference, unless the church tells them that there is a better way, how will they ever know? In verse 112, it says, "My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." And we end with a declaration, a heart-to-heart statement for us and Father God. As God stands with us, we pursue him and aim to live our lives as set out in the scripture, as he sends the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. As we journey with him, he will be with us all the time. So just going back to right where I started, it says, "Your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to my path." The challenge to us is, how do we stand firm on the truth that we know and find in Scripture? And we, each one of us here, are called to communicate that truth to a generation of children and young people who have told the many lies and untruths and not the truth. In Romans 10:14, we love this verse in Scripture Union. It says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them?" The call on us as men and women of God is to bring clarity and truth in a dark world. God has set out for us in his word how to live, how to live out our lives, how to worship him, how to come before him. It's never been more important to communicate this clarity in this dark world, to communicate truth to young people and children, to not compromise to the values of the world. So that this generation that is there, the 95 that John and his team are reaching out to in the schools, know the truth, that God loves them, that God can save them through Jesus Christ, that they can read the Bible and live a life. As I said at the beginning, explore the Bible, respond to Jesus, and grow in faith. And it's our responsibility to help that communication happen and not allow drift to happen in our lives or compromise to happen in our lives. Let's take a moment just to be quiet before we finish our service this morning and think about young people that we know, children that we know, that we could communicate this truth to. Maybe we need to say sorry to God if we've maybe compromised or drifted from the truth. Maybe we need to say to God, "Help me stand firm in this dark world, even if it means that I might be ridiculed, that I might be judged by others as a radical." Father God, thank you for your uncompromising gospel. Father, thank you that you have shown us in the scripture how to live our lives, how to share the gospel, Lord. Father, thank you that how your word shows us right from wrong. Father, thank you that your word is never changing, that you are the unchanging God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, in a world where there are so many messages, so much distraction, so much compromise, help us to stand firm on the truth of what is revealed in your word. Holy Spirit, guide us, strengthen us, empower us to be great advocates for the gospel in this dark world that we live in these difficult times. That while in this country we have so much freedom, Lord God, help us to use it and take advantage of it to share the love of Jesus and to bring truth and clarity amongst so much confusion. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to stand and sing our final song, All the Way My Saviour Leads Me.
Cup of coffee and talk to people. It'd be great to have that fellowship time with you. Let's just say the grace together to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.